Our scripture text this week is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 22, and we're going to read through verse 30. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Have you noticed that those of us at least are older? And we seem to spend our life letting go of the things that we wish we could hang on to. We watch our parents get older, and then eventually we have to let them go. And the longer that we live, it seems that the fewer and fewer of those that we've loved in the past and cared about are still there with us. Sometimes we only have memories. Memories that can be a blessing or they can be a torment. It's not that we want it that way. It's because it's out of our control, beyond our ability to change the outcome. But you know, this passage here tells me that God is not like us. He will never have to say goodbye. He will never have to let go of those who are dear to Him. As Paul said, there's nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This verse here, these verses here are great verses that tell us that God has a plan and He has a purpose and that He's going to accomplish that. Every day I live, it seems that I realize there's more and more things that I'm never going to be able to do. Of all the stuff that I thought about doing when I was younger. Not going to do that. I don't know, maybe my mother had good advice for me. She said, "Just read the books that you've got already before you buy any more." But this verse, these verses tell us that God has a plan for His people and that there is nothing in the universe that's going to be able to stop that plan. And I think that you and I can take great encouragement and great comfort in that. Now, first of all, I want us to notice who is it that He's talking about. One of the problems that people have today is that we have kind of have the concept, at least in America, that everybody goes to heaven when they die. That everybody has a good outcome. But we know that that's not true. It would be nice. I wouldn't have a problem with that. God's going to change people. But notice who He's talking about. He says, "My sheep." My sheep. You notice in the previous verse, He told those religious leaders, "You do not believe because you are what? Not my sheep." As an opposed to you folks, He says, who do not believe, who are not my sheep. You see, what they're thinking is they're thinking, He doesn't really have a good following, because if he was real, we'd follow Him. But Jesus isn't discouraged by all of that. Because he knows what? He knows his sheep. And so he says, my sheep, his sheep. Not the neighbor's sheep, not the sheep down the road, my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hears my voice. The first thing he lets us know is that he's talking about a certain group of people. He's not talking about everybody. Not talking about everyone. The Apostle Paul said, we know that all men do not have faith. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now I know that it doesn't fit with what the news media and Hollywood would want us to believe. But I'll take what Jesus says. And so Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Those who hear the voice of the shepherd, it's not simply the fact that he hears. It's that they hear and do something about it. Have you ever said to someone, hey, did you hear me? Now, did you really want to know whether or not they had just heard you? Is that what you were asking? No, that's not what you were asking. You were going to ask them, hey, I told you, are you going to do what I said? That's what you're saying. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, hearing the voice has the idea to follow what he says. That's what he's talking about. And so, what he's saying is that not all the sheep, not all the sheep everywhere, but there is a group of sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd. It's those sheep that he's talking about. It's those sheep that he's referring to. My sheep hear my voice. As opposed to you Jewish leaders who will not listen because you are not my sheep. This is what distinguishes his sheep from all the other sheep. The other sheep do not hear his voice because they do not belong to the shepherd. And so then it is not simply sheep, but my sheep. My sheep that he's referring to, his own. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and he says, and I know them. I know them. Now, the word to know is just simply the word to know, something like you would take knowledge of something. But the term to know here means more than simply to have a cognizance of, to know that something exists. You see, because no one has ever lived that Jesus didn't know about. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's not saying, I know about my sheep. He's saying, I know my sheep. And there's a big difference. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking to two different groups of people that will be judged on the last day. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, he says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, you see, the idea is not that Jesus didn't know about them. It's not that he didn't know that they didn't exist. As a matter of fact, because maybe we ought to look at that. Because if you notice the verses before that, what you find is that it talks about them. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous works in your name. So you get the idea. These folks are religious people. You understand that? These aren't the ones that are the gangsters and the Taliban and all the rest. These are the ones who are claiming to know Jesus. But then he says, in the judgment, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Notice what he says. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, if possible, to do good things and still be lawless, right? Yeah. You know, we have a problem in this country, and that is, depending upon the good things that a person does, we're willing to overlook some of the bad things that they do. And sometimes it's just a cover for the other. But Jesus says, I never knew you. Does this mean he never knew about them? He didn't know who they were? No. That's not what it's saying. It's the same idea of what we find here when he says, I know my sheep. You see, often in the Bible, the idea of to know means to love. To know means to love. It's a euphemism. We use euphemisms all the time. If you're in the car with somebody and you're in a hurry, you'll say, step on it. For someone not raised in our culture, they wonder, is there a bug down there? Or what are you talking about? Right? There's euphemisms in the Bible, in the book of I think it's First and Second Samuel, First Samuel I think it is, but anyway, it says Saul goes into the cave to uncover his feet. Now, folks, you're thinking uncover your feet? That was a euphemism. He went in the cave to go to the bathroom. That's what he did. There's euphemisms. A lot of times euphemisms are things that we say because they sound better. But there's also a euphemism for to know. It says Adam knew his wife. It doesn't mean he finally said, oh, I know you. No. Something much more involved is involved because of the fact that what we find is after he knew his wife, she conceived and bore a son. But I want you to notice another passage, and that is found in Amos. You guys all remember Amos, don't you? Amos 3:2. God is speaking through Amos to the people of Israel, and he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. You only have I known. In other words, of all the kingdoms, of all the nations, of all the families of the earth, you only have I known. What's he saying there? He said, I didn't know about the Romans. I didn't know about the Persians. I didn't know about the Hittites. I didn't know about those. No. He's saying, I set my love upon you. He says, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. The idea is that God takes care of his own. He punishes those who are supposed to be following him. But he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. So when Jesus said, I know my sheep, he has more in view than simply that he knows who they are or that he knows something about them. It is that he has set his affection upon them. And then he says, I know my sheep and they follow me. They follow me. This is a distinguishable characteristic of his sheep. I don't know how many times I've said this here, but if you're not following the Good Shepherd, you have no guarantee that you're one of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. You see, it doesn't say, I know my sheep, and most of them follow me. 30%, 80%, it says, I know my sheep, and they follow me. They follow me. That's why Jesus talked about judging a plant by its fruit. Out there on the lake, we've on the other side of our fence, I don't know how this came about or where these came from, probably some nasty birds brought in some of these like wild cherries. And these wild, I don't know, there's a special variety of some wild tree. And anyway, it's got thorns on it, and it's a nasty tree. But man, do they grow. They're just taking over that whole thing and trying to get into our yard, and I keep cutting them down. We also have in our yard a very nice cherry tree. The only trouble is, it's I should have trimmed it, because now we have to have a 30-foot ladder to go up and pick the cherries off the top. It's too big. But every year it's loaded with cherries. It's not hard to tell which tree is worth saving and the trees that you would cut down and throw into the fire. How do you tell? By their fruits. By the fruit. And Jesus said that is how you tell what kind of people a person is. By their fruits. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." So I want you to understand which sheep we're talking about before we get to the next verse. Because, you know, some people have the idea that a person can walk a church aisle, shake the preacher's hand, get dunked in the tank, and then go out and live like hell and still go to heaven. Not so. Not so. If you're not following the shepherd, there's no guarantee that you're one of his sheep. So he says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." They follow him, as we've seen in earlier passages, and they follow only him. He says, "My sheep will not follow a stranger." They follow him, it's an expression of love. Because they love Jesus, they follow him. They live in the awesome presence of the one who died for them. And they cannot get away from that thought. Every day that they wake up, they realize that the person who has given meaning to my life is the one who died for me. Of course they're going to follow him. Where else would they go? You know, as Peter told Jesus, we're going to see later on, the people all go away. Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go, Lord? You only have the words of eternal life." There was no place else for Peter to go. There's no place else for us to go who are his sheep. That's why we follow him. And also it indicates trust. It indicates trust. When the sheep follow the shepherd, it means they trust him. They have confidence. And it also indicates obedience. Obedience. And so then we come to the next verse, where he talks about the security of the sheep. He says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Woo! Now, I like that. Huh? Where am I at? Here I am. I'm in the hand of Jesus. In the hand of God. Now, all you have to do is overpower Jesus and God to get me out of there. I'd say that's security. I feel sorry for Christian churches that teach people that they can be in the hand of God today and in the hand of Satan tomorrow. He tells them that they are secure. "I give unto them eternal life." And as I've said oftentimes, folks, if you've got eternal life today and you don't have it tomorrow, you didn't have it today. Just by the very nature of it. Jesus said in John 3:15, "Whoever believes in me should not perish, but have eternal life." In John 4:14, he says, "Whoever drinks of this water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give in him shall be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." In John chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," or shall not come into judgment, "but has passed from death to life." And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, I'm here to tell you today, right now, I am not a perfect person. I have never been perfect. Danny's over there shaking his head. He can't really believe that. And I'm here to tell you that my board's got a lot of nail holes in it. Because I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But I want you to know that Jesus died for all of that. He paid for all of that. It's finished with God as far as God's concerned. Not only did God pull out the nails, He filled in the holes. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never perish. What does that mean, never perish? Well, I thought about today going out into the garden and getting two tomatoes. Get a nice ripe one and get one that's perishing. You get the picture, don't you? There's a big difference. You see, the one that's perishing hasn't vanished. It's just ruined. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never perish. And then He says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jude wrote in Jude 1:24, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He says, I'm writing this to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I've kind of noticed that stumbling's been easier to do here recently, in the literal sense. I don't know. Paul wrote to the Philippians. Listen to this. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He says, being confident of this very thing, that He, talking about God, that He which has begun a good work in you will be able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of times when we talk about eternal security, people that don't believe in eternal security says, oh, well, you Baptists believe that you can just, that you're saved and then you can go out and do whatever you want. No! Paul didn't say, oh, you Philippians are going to be all right no matter what you do. That isn't what he said. He says that God, who has begun a good work through His Holy Spirit in your heart, through grace, is able to continue to perform that work until the day you die, or until the day of Jesus Christ when He comes back, whichever is first. You see, it's not a matter of us. It's God who works in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That's why He is so sure that they have eternal life and they shall never perish. And no one is able to snatch them out of His hand. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. You get that? Have you ever noticed sometimes it's not so much what you know, but who you know? Now, you know, listen to this. Listen. There's a part of us that knows that that's not fair, right? Unless we're the one who knows somebody. Right? I mean, if we're the one who knows somebody, you know, somebody says, oh, well, we so-and-so got in trouble. Oh, well, I know somebody over there. I think we can probably work that out. Folks, it's not that I'm perfect, but I know somebody. And He ever lives, He is sitting at the right hand of God, and He ever lives to make intercession for me. And Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, which means he doesn't need any help, when Satan accuses me before God, I have an intercessor who is there before God and he says, I paid for it. I paid for it. I paid for it. He's forgiven. And then he says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1:5. Maybe we'll look that one up. 1 Peter 1:5. He's writing to these people who are Christians. He says, who are kept by the power of God. You might use the word preserved there. Who are preserved by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. How is it that you're going to make it to heaven? Is it going to be because you're so good and you're so strong and you've got all this faith? No. It's because you're kept by the power of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I'll tell you what, folks, that ought to make Baptists shout. They shall never perish. We are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Preserved by the power of God. God continues to work in our heart. In the Old Testament, what God promised the nation of Israel, we've already received. Because you see, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament had the law of God written on tables of stone. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do this this way. Everything had to be just so and so in order to be complete in what God wanted them to do. But Jeremiah said that there was a day coming when God would write His Word on their heart. Not on tables of stone. And for the Christian, the Word of God, the will of God, if you please, is written on our hearts. And as the one fellow said, man, if I believed that way, I'd go out and sin all I wanted to. Folks, I got news for you. I already sin more than I want to. That isn't my problem. My problem, I'm not waiting for the day when I can sin all that I want to, because I already do that. I sin way more than I want to. Every sin that I commit, I don't want to sin, because God's Word is written in my heart. And then also He shows us who is the owner of the sheep. Who is the owner of the sheep? Notice He says, my Father who gave them to me. That's who we belong to. You see, we've been given by the Father to the Son. The Son died for us, and He's going to preserve us and take us to heaven. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I'll in no wise cast out. And on down in verse 39, He says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And then in verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will. Not I hope to. I sure hope it works out. But He says, I will raise Him up the last day. What a glorious, glorious, glorious blessing God has for those who are His. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this marvelous, marvelous passage. A passage that tells us who we are in Jesus Christ and gives us the security that we have in Him. We pray, Lord, that we would love our Savior even more for this great blessing, and that we would follow Him wherever He would lead us today.